This is Cole Zimmerman, and I'm a sales agronomist for CHS Ag Services in Warren, Minnesota. We're pleased to bring you this update from the Red River Farm Network. CHS Ag Services, providing solutions for your success.
Monday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Randy Conan along with Tyler Donaldson. Crop production expenses have more than doubled over the past 30 years, even outpacing inflation's rate of 2.3%. NDSU Assistant Professor Brian Parman says that this rate of increase is fairly consistent and aligns with production numbers over that time.
Part of that isn't extremely shocking from the standpoint that, you know, we're getting more yield per acre out of every acre that we produce. There's a lot of technological improvements that have gone into equipment and into seed varieties and things like that. So I think that possibly some of the costs are contributing to that fact, as well as that we've moved through over the course of the years, things have just gotten more and more expensive, and we're definitely seeing that reflected in agricultural production.
Parman points to rising interest rates as an area to watch moving forward.
When we see these agricultural cycles in terms of net incomes, and we're kind of coming right now off of a peak that, in fact, records in 22 and then high net farm incomes in 23, often we follow that up with a multi-year at or around average, maybe slightly below average net income. But we haven't had that happen in a long time with higher interest rate, or at least higher than record low. So it'll be something to watch on if these rates stay high enough for long enough, if there's going to be a little bit of shuffling in these production expenses, potentially things like equipment and land rents, if that tends to continue to be the case.
Polish farmers blocked two border crossings into Germany in protest against EU environmental regulations and cheap imports. These protests are in demand for changes to the Green Deal restrictions and the reinstatement of customs duties on Ukrainian agricultural products. The European Commission proposed concessions on rules for leaving land fallow or rotating crops were met with lukewarm reactions. Instead, further protests are planned across Poland, citing competition from cheap Ukrainian imports as a key grievance.
U.S. and Brazil are the two biggest exporters of soybeans in the world. And for much of the past, exports to China were comparable between the two countries. In recent years, that gap has widened in Brazil's favor. According to NDSU crop economist Frank Olson, it isn't just policy or trade relations that's causing this widening.
A couple things happening in Brazil. They're expanding their acreage. With the increased acreage, the last couple of years, Brazil has also had some really good weather. And so not only is the acreage up, but their yields have been relatively good. The supply of soybeans coming out of Brazil, just the sheer volume, is increasing. And so the Brazilian farmer is more dependent upon the global market to be able to get rid of very large crops. So if you have a big crop, you have lots of inventory around, prices start to fall to try and move that inventory through the marketing system. And essentially, that's what's happened over the last couple of years.
The growth rate for China's soybean imports has plateaued in recent years.
The expansion of Chinese imports of soybeans is starting to slow. You know, there's about almost 20 years where the amount of soybeans that China purchased off of the global market just is almost a straight line. It was very predictable. And then over the last few years, they're still growing. They're still buying more soybeans than the previous year. But that growth rate is starting to slow. And some of that is because of their economy is starting to slow. Their economy isn't growing as quickly. Part of it is their population growth rates are slowing. And part of it is simply they're still having some troubles and issues with African swine fever. Again, because pork is by far the dominant meat that's produced and consumed in China.
Mississippi has joined the growing list of states looking to restrict sales of agriculture land to foreign groups. According to a November report drafted by a newly formed State Ag and Commerce Committee, from 2011 to 2021, over 100,000 acres of Mississippi farmland have been sold to foreign non-residents. Foreign-owned farmland makes up 2.6% of the state's total, which is just below the national average of 3.1%, with the Netherlands topping the list at 350,000 acres owned. The report claims that these land buy-ups are likely due to response to EU regulations and that unrestricted foreign ownership, especially by foreign adversaries, presents a serious concern to national security and food security.
The Minnesota Wheat Research and Promotion Council and the Minnesota Association of Wheat Growers have named Brian Sorensen as their new executive director. Sorensen has been a program manager with Northern Crops Institute since 2018. Former executive director Charlie Vogel resigned at the end of November to take another job. Sorensen's first day on the job will be April 2nd.
With an open winter, crop mix and acreage is a big question. Lima Grain Cereal Seeds Northern Plains Regional Commercial Manager Troy Girding says spring cereal seed sales have been on the slow side.
So far, from what I've heard from our dealers, is that cereal sales have been fairly slow. Up until this point, growers have been slow to make decisions on what they want to plant right now, but I don't think that's going to affect growers from putting in cereal crops. I think they're still going to be following their rotations. You know, things have to go in the ground. All commodity prices are down, so they have to decide what's going to pencil out.
Girding says moisture will be a concern following the open winter.
I am a little concerned at where moisture's sitting at. I know, looking at the drought monitor for Minnesota and even North Dakota, as well as, where the wildfires have been throughout Minnesota, we are sitting fairly dry. So I hope we do get a little more moisture here before guys get in the field. So they can get a good start. I'm hoping we don't have to plant into dry dirt. We can find some good wet soil to get into and get things going properly.
Farm Rescue has activated its Operation Haylift to haul much-needed hay to ranchers impacted by recent wildfires in Nebraska, Oklahoma, and Texas. The nonprofit organization is working to coordinate donated hay from surrounding states, which will be distributed on a first-come, first-served basis. Initial funding for Operation Haylift being provided by several major sponsors, including John Deere, Nutrien Ag Solutions, and Anheuser-Busch. You're listening to the Red River Farm Network.
Monday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. EverAg market analyst Cole Adams is expecting a sideways trading pattern today.
I would not be surprised to be in a sideways market at this point. Really, in about 10 days, we've got that plan and intentions. So I think we'll kind of trade sideways here. I think these funds, you've seen them over the course of the last few weeks, start to continue to unwind some of their short positions just to make sure there's no surprises coming out of this market. Also make sure we get the crop planted. So I think they've kind of gotten to a point here, maybe a little bit more comfortable, weeding into that report here.
The livestock markets continue to be volatile.
Up $3, down $2, but still overall slowly grinding higher on the live cattle side. Certainly the cutout has continued to maintain itself and grind higher over the course of the last 2 weeks. That's sitting around $310. We've got 90s lean trim breaking out of last fall's highs. So that'd be your burger. Starting to see that really kind of take off here. Would like to see that continue to influence a cutout as we move forward. These funds have continued to kind of buy into this market, getting into a comfortable range there. So we'll see if we can't continue to grind higher during this early summer demand time frame.
North Star Commodity Chief Analyst Mark Schultz says the wheat market has taken the lead in the grains.
Anywhere from 8 to 10 cents higher as we speak on wheat across the board. More so supported by a couple of things. One, you're going to get into a change in the weather, which is going to go much colder. But some of that cold air is going to leak all the way down into Mississippi, down into the Southern Delta region. And that might, if it gets cold enough, you might do a little bit or scare a little bit with winter wheat. Because it's been out of dormancy much earlier than normal. The other one that is giving support to the wheat is the escalation of missile and drone attacks between Ukraine and Russia, and one of them at the port facility. So that's where you're getting a little bit more support from that.
Russian wheat export prices rose for the first time since early January, with 12.5% protein wheat for April delivery, reaching $201 per metric ton. According to ICAR and Sovcon Agriculture Consultancies, Sovcon highlighted competitive pricing, increased EU prices, and ongoing demand for April-June shipments. Despite some farmers needing to sell, exporters prioritize margins over volumes, resulting in steady rather than record-high exports. Russia exported 1.2 million tons of grain, including 0.93 million tons of wheat last week, with SOVCOM predicting March wheat exports to match last year's 4.8 million tons. The Ministry of Agriculture reports faster spring sowing, but notes worsening weather conditions for new crops due to recent dryness.
USDA's weekly export inspections report for the week ending March 14th showing corn inspected for export totaling 1.24 million metric tons. That is 6% more than the previous week, 1% more than the same week a year ago. Soybean inspections at 686,000 metric tons are down 13% from the previous week, 5% less than the same week last year. Wheat inspections totaling 302,000 metric tons, down 35% from the previous week, 19% less than last year. For the marketing year, corn inspections are 31% ahead of last year's pace. Soybean inspections are down 19%, and wheat inspections are down 15% from last year's pace.
The USDA's decision to increase the tariff rate quota for imported sugar is a concern for sugar beet and sugar cane producers. According to a report from the Hagstrom Report, the American Sugar Alliance is worried this action will set a precedent, giving USDA the ability to import more foreign sugar. On March 7th, the TRQ for cane sugar increased by 125,000 metric tons raw value for this fiscal year. The increased tariff rate quota comes at a time when U.S. sugar production is approaching record levels.
Number of farms raising wheat has dropped significantly. According to USDA's Economic Research Service, the number of wheat farms in the U.S. declined more than 40% since 2002. There were nearly 170,000 wheat farms in 2002 and just over 97,000 20 years later. The number of farms producing durum wheat had the biggest percentage drop, down nearly 60% from 2002. This is the Red River Farm Network.
Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. The latest meat demand monitor offered up mixed results, says Kansas State University Extension livestock market economist Glenn Tonsor.
And a summary on demand in February compared to January is domestic retail, so think grocery store for at-home consumption. Demand was up for 6 of the 8 evaluated products, which is great. Conversely, we'll look over to food service. February demand for dinner meals away from home compared to January was lower in all 8 examined cases.
According to Tonsor, a majority of public finances are reporting as either the same or worse.
The typical person is concerned on their finances, and it's important to clarify sentiment isn't the same as the bottom line. They tend to be very related, but you can have a, you know, break even or getting slightly ahead kind of thing from an accounting perspective, but you still don't feel comfortable, or you're not optimistic that things are going to get better, and therefore your sentiment is going to be eroding.
Checking markets before we leave you this afternoon. May wheat Minneapolis is 6 cents higher at 652.5. Chicago May wheat 15 cents higher at 543.5, and Kansas City May wheat's 9 higher at 575.25. May corn a quarter of a penny higher at 437. July corn's up 3/4 at 449.75. New crop December a half penny higher at 471.25. May soybeans down 9.25 at 1189. August soybeans down 9.25 at $12.50. November soybeans down 9.75 at 11.81. May soybean meal is down 2.70 a ton at 3.32. Bean oil down 59 points at 49.33. In Winnipeg, May canola 2.20 a metric ton higher, 6.32.80 Canadian. April live cattle $1.40 higher, 188.65. June's up $1.75 at 185.35. August $1.65 higher at 184.25. March feeder cattle $1.95 higher at 251.22. April 287 higher at 255. May feeder cattle 287 higher at 258.87. The April lean hogs are down 12 cents at $86.82. May 40 cents higher at 93.57. And the June lean hogs are 32 cents higher at 102.77. Dow Jones Industrial Average currently 101 points higher, 38,816. This is the Red River Farm Network.